Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Good evening, everyone. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to bring forth the Word of God to His people. It is a challenging time, but we are thankful for God's Word, which is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So I thank God for this opportunity to bring forth another teaching, and the topic is Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. But before I begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this another privilege, O God, to bring forth your word. We thank you, O God, that you are God, the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, O God, Almighty Lord, that your word is alive and active. We thank you, O God, that you are at work in the lives of your people. And we just thank you, O God, for this opportunity to bring forth your word, Almighty God, to refresh your people even in these trying times. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Holy Ghost, that you are with us. We thank you that you never leave nor forsake us. So we give you thanks again for your word. For your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. O God, we thank you that you are near. So we bless you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So our topic for today is Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. And we are reading from Hebrews 12, verse 3. It said, For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So the writer of Hebrew was saying here, let us consider Jesus, what he has gone through for us, how he endured the opposition of sinners. People opposed him. The religious leaders opposed him. They were against him. Lest we become weary in our minds. Think on what he has gone through. Lest we become weary and faint in our minds. And when we think of the word consider, it means to think about, to deliberate upon, examine mentally, to look upon or regard as, to make allowance for, to keep in mind, to take into account, to observe closely, to ponder, to meditate, to reflect, or to study. So let us take that time out to consider what Christ has gone through for us, lest we become weary in these trying times and faint in our minds. We as the people of God have to take into consideration what Christ has endured for us. If we stop to reflect on all that he had gone through for us, we would have the same mindset as the disciples of old. And we read in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 41, that the disciples were beaten because they were preaching and teaching in Jesus' name. They were told not to teach in Jesus' name anymore. But you know what happened? These disciples, they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. We should bear in mind daily all that Christ has suffered for us. How he endured persecution. He endured trials. He endured testings. He endured even death for us. He laid down his life for us. So we also have to arm ourselves with the same mind so that when trials and persecutions come, we will endure and not give up. The Lord is calling us to consider what Christ has gone through for us. Think about what Jesus went through for us. Lest we become weary and give up in our minds. I'm going to be going through different eras of trials and testing that Christ has gone through. And I'm just going to read the scriptures. And we see where Christ has suffered and gone through so much for us. So we too can look into ourselves and say, suffering is a part of the Christian's journey. So we must be ready and gear up our minds to go through testing and trials and persecution and know that we are not alone because Christ is with us. So we are going to be looking in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 21, where Christ, even from a babe, he was persecuted. Can you imagine? Even from a babe, he was persecuted. He was hunted by King Herod to slay him. King Herod wanted to kill Jesus from he was a babe. So we are going to go through that scripture and see what Christ has gone through. Even from he was a babe, he was being persecuted. So we have to understand that we have to arm ourselves with the same mindset to suffer and to go through trials and testing because our Savior has done the same for us. And if we are joint heirs with him, we also have to share in his suffering. People of God, let us turn to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 21. The Bible said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judah. Thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' So when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.' Verse 21, and he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. We see here where Herod sought to kill Jesus. Even from he was a baby, he was persecuted. But the word of God tells us that the Lord spoke to Joseph and said, take the child, go into Egypt, flee into Egypt, for Herod sought to kill him. And Herod went about killing off all the young children from 2 years and under because he wanted to make sure that Jesus was dead So we see here from Jesus was born, he was being persecuted. So we must understand that just as our Savior suffered, we are also to prepare ourselves to suffer in many ways in this fallen world. So let us consider Jesus. Let us think about what he has gone through so we will not give up even in these challenging times. I'm going on to Matthew 4, 1 through 11, where we will see Jesus going through another testing here. He was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. So Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11 said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Can you imagine how hungry Jesus was after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting? And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So we have to consider how Jesus combated the enemy, how Jesus fought. He fought with the word. So we also must fight with the word of God. The word is our sword. The word of God is our sword, is a weapon that we have to use to offend the enemy and to defend ourselves. But for too long, we have been quiet and not speaking God's words. But the Lord is calling us to come back to his word and to use his word to fight against the backlash of the enemy. The enemy is coming with all sorts of trials and testing and persecution and temptation in every form. But we have the word of God. Just as how Jesus used the word of God to fight against that desire of the flesh, we have the same word here. He has given us 66 books. So we have the word of God to fight with. We have the Bible. Let us not turn from the word of God, but let us allow the word of God to fight for us. For the word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So Jesus used the word to fight the enemy here. And he was speaking from Deuteronomy 8:3. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple," verse 5 of Matthew 4, "and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." But look on how Jesus responded again. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Satan, don't test God. That's what Jesus was saying. You must not test God. Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. And what would have happened there? Jesus would have been testing the Father if he had jumped off that pinnacle. But Satan was using the word. He was using the God's word, which wasn't for that time, it wasn't in the right context. So we see even the enemy sometimes can bring a word and twist it and make it look good. And we can be deceived because the enemy can also quote scriptures. So let us be careful. He was quoting from Psalm 91, 11 and 12. So Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came. And ministered unto him. People of God, let us use the word to fight. Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan. Get hence. Go away. For it is written." We must know that it is written. We must understand that God's word is written for us. We must use the word of God to fight in these evil days. And having after done doing all that we can, we will still be standing. Let us put on the whole armor. Let us take up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and fight. Jesus had to do it, and he is the Son of God. Let us consider Jesus. Think about what he had to go through. Think about what he had done. And continue to look to him for help. The word of God says, we don't want to become weary, lest we become weary and faint in our minds. We're going on to Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. So Jesus, we're going on to see more of what Jesus has gone through for us. He has gone through all of this for us. For he left heaven and came down for us to die in our place, to take our sins unto himself. He did it all for us. When we are looking now, he was slandered. Matthew 11, 19 said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous. So they called him a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. So we see here, he was slandered by the religious people. So we can see here how he endured the contradiction of sinners. So we also have to endure. People will oppose us. People will slander us. People will say all manner of evil against us. But we have to continue to persevere amidst the difficult times. We see again in St. John chapter 8, verse 48. St. John chapter 8. Verse 41 first, and then I go to verse 48 after. St. John chapter 8, 41, it says, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they, that is the religious leader, the scribes and Pharisees, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So what they were saying is that Jesus was illegitimate. They did not know who his father was. So they are saying, we were not born of fornication. So they were slandering him. They did not know that this is the holy child that was promised to Israel. They did not know that he is the promised Messiah. The Bible says in Isaiah 7, 14, that he would be born of a virgin. But they were reading the prophets. They were reading the law. They were reading all the books of the Bible, but they were not understanding. They did not have a heart knowledge, or they failed to believe that Jesus Christ was really the Messiah. So he was opposed. They hated him without a cause. So they said, oh, we are not born of fornication. So what they were implying is that Jesus was born out of wedlock. So we have one Father, even God. That's what they said. But if God really was their father, they would have honored the Son, as Jesus said in another scripture. Verse 48 said, then answered the Jews, John 8, 48, and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Jesus was saying, I don't have a devil. They were saying, first of all, that he's a Samaritan. That means he's a half-breed. He's not fully Jew. That's what they were saying. They slandered him. He went through a lot for us, people of God. He suffered so much for us. But Jesus answered and said, what I do, I honor my Father, but you dishonor me. And if they really knew God the Father, they would have honored the Son, but he was slandered for us. So let us consider what Christ has gone through for us, and let us arm ourselves with that same mindset also to suffer like he suffered. He's our great high priest. He is our great high priest. The word of God tells us in Hebrews 2:17-18, wherefore in all things it behoove him to be made like unto us his virgin, that he might be the merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid them that are tempted. So Christ is in a position to aid us, to help us. He is that merciful and faithful high priest that we can run to. So no matter what comes against us, we must remember that we have someone to turn to. We must consider Jesus as at all times, lest we become weary and faint in our minds. Hebrews 4:15 said, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So we see Jesus Christ. He knows everything that we are going through. He was tested and tempted like we are, but he couldn't sin. He is the spotless Lamb of God. He couldn't sin, but we at times do fall into sin. But he is faithful and just. He is that merciful and faithful high priest who is touched with all that we go through. And he is in a position to help us. So we have to run to the one who is in a position to help us. The word of God tells us that he ever lived to make intercession for us. The word of God tells us that he is our mediator. He is the mediator between God and man. So we have Jesus Christ, the righteous one, to run to and say, "Jesus, help me. They are troubling me, Jesus. They are slandering me." And he would remember that they also had slandered him, and he would act on our behalf. So let us come running to our great high priest, run to Jesus, and know that he is able to see us through. Let us ponder, let us reflect on what he has gone through for us, and let us reflect on the truth that he did not leave us comfortless. He has sent the Blessed Comforter. The Holy Spirit is with us, and he's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before our Father. We are not alone. We have help. So let us not run around behaving as if we are alone and we don't have any help, but let us come to consider Jesus and know that he is with us and he never leave nor forsake his people. So we are continuing to consider what Jesus has gone through for us, and we are going to turn to Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus was run. They ran him out of town. They ran him out of their coast. So Mark chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine." So this is a story of when that man, when Jesus was able to free this man from the possession of the devil, the man that had the legions of devil, and they went into the swine. So that was what happened there. And verse 17 said, "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast." They began to say, "Jesus, leave us alone. Come out of our coast. Come out of our city. We don't want you here." So we see what Jesus has gone through. And many of us, they did not run us out of town. They did not run us out of our neighborhood. But why are we so perplexed? And why are we not considering what Christ has gone through? They ran him out of the coast. Say, "We don't want you here, Jesus. You're not good for our business." So we want to consider what Christ has gone through for us so that we will not become weary during these trying times and faint in our minds. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the very shame." Let us look to Jesus. Let us know that we also will suffer shame. We will suffer rejection. We will be insulted for the name of Jesus. The disciples of old, they counted it worthy to suffer shame for his name, let us also count it worthy to suffer affliction and shame and pain for his great name. So let us arm ourselves with that mindset that Christ has suffered. Let us consider what he has gone through, how he endured the contradiction of sinners, lest we become weary and faint in our minds. We're going to turn to Mark 6, verse 1 through 6. And he went out from them, from thence, and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him that were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the village teaching. So we see here, he was not received among his own people. People of God, many times we will not be received among our own people. Sometimes even our own household, we will not be received because we are proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. Let us know that these things will come upon us. It happened to Jesus. It will also happen to us. So let us arm ourselves with that mindset. He came to his own village. He came into his own village. And what happened? He came into his own countries, into his own country, and they did not receive him. They were astonished at his doctrine, and they look at him with disdain. Isn't this the carpenter? Look at how they spoke about Jesus. Isn't this the carpenter? Mary's son, Joseph's son, and we know his siblings. Let us come to that place of understanding that many are going to be offended because we are proclaiming the name of Jesus. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. So we must arm ourselves to know that we will not be received in certain places among certain people because we are proclaiming the name of Jesus. Let us continue to be constant in season and out of season and proclaim the name of Jesus. For he's worthy of praise, worthy of glory, worthy of honor. Consider Jesus in everything and be blessed continually. Live a blessed life. Bless the Lord. Praise God.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Majesty.